Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come into Thy presence. And Lord, we thank Thee today for the One who lives in that power of an endless life. We thank the Lord today for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord that we serve One who is alive and alive forevermore. We praise Thee, Lord, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh God, we thank Thee for that victory that He won there at the place called Calvary, when He offered Himself one sacrifice for sin. We thank the Lord for the precious blood that was shed. And God, we thank Thee that it is on the merits of Christ, all upon His finished work, that we can approach unto Thee today in prayer. We ask, O God, that You'll bless the reading and, Lord, the preaching of the Word of God to our hearts, we pray. And, O God, we pray, speak, O Lord, we pray, to each and to all. May Thy Word, Lord, take a dealing with all of our hearts, and we pray that the Bible will speak to each one we ask. So be pleased to hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Our scripture reading is found in the New Testament. The New Testament and the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. We will read from verse number 1 down to the end of verse 14. Acts chapter 1 and the verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given the commandments to whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And may God be pleased to add a blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to sing another hymn, and it is the words of the hymn, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
Thank you. I want to thank the Reverend Wilson from our church in Sandown for leading the meeting today. And with it being the time of year, Easter time, I want to think about the subject of Easter's forgotten doctrine. I want to think about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he ascended into heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, we read of that event. And in Acts chapter 1, we read in verse 11 of the chapter, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Napoleon and Wellington, they were engaged in the fateful battle in Waterloo. And I'm sure as you maybe are aware, they were fighting for world domination. They fought tirelessly. The battle raged on from 12 noon until about 4 o'clock. And it was at that particular time that Wellington, he felt that his troops were really just losing heart in the battle. And so he tried to spur them on, and he turned to them and he shouted to his troops, "Boys, you might be thinking of giving way, but remember old England." And they were buoyed by what he had said. And of course the battle then, it continued. And at 8 o'clock that same evening, Napoleon, as I'm sure you're probably aware from history, Napoleon, he emerged at the Battle of Waterloo defeated. And Wellington then proceeded to perform a majestic procession as he emerged victor from the battle. When we think about that historical battle, and the fact that, of course, there was one who emerged victorious, well, we think about another great day of battle. You think about that great day, Good Friday as we know it today, that day when Satan rose up and Satan entered into battle with the Lord Jesus Christ. There at Calvary's middle tree, Satan, he went forth and he essentially was attempting to steal his kingdom from him. At the end of day one, as the battle continued on, as the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it looked for all intents and purposes that Jesus Christ was the loser. He had lost the battle. Day two, of course, and Jesus Christ is still in the tomb. And of course, Satan probably thinks to himself, "Well, I am victorious in this battle." However, on the great day, the third day, the day of the resurrection, Christ, our captain, he emerged victorious. And there we find that the Christ, the captain of the battle, the captain of his people, he emerged as a victor. He defeated death, he defeated the devil, he defeated sin, he defeated hell. And that body, which had died for sin, that same body, it conquered death, it conquered the grave, and that same body, it was raised again. To quote 1 Corinthians chapter 15, whilst it was sown in corruption, it was raised in incorruption. In other words, it was raised in perfection. And it was this same body that 40 days later, we find here in Acts chapter 1, we find Jesus Christ as he then was raised again, as he walked amongst his people, as he appeared in the morning time to various people, as he appeared in the afternoon of the resurrection to Peter and to John, as he appeared in the evening time to his disciples, his 12 disciples there in the upper room. This same body then, 40 days later, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, this same body, we read in Acts chapter 1, we read of this body ascending up into heaven. What a sight it was. What a majestic event. What a true event it was. But what a glorious event it was, of course, not merely in history, but for all that it means for you and for all that it means for us as the people of God. Because the ascension really marks the coronation of the King. It marks the coronation of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as he leaves his ministry on earth and he enters into heaven. What does he do whenever he enters into heaven? The Bible makes it clear that he then sits down. God highly exalts him as a prince and as a savior. And he sits down there in all of his exalted majesty. And the point I want you to understand is this. Is without Easter's forgotten doctrine, the ascension, it doesn't happen. Yes, Jesus Christ might have been raised again and of course conquered death, but unless he enters into heaven and unless he then takes that seat beside God the Father, then all is vain. And so this is a most important doctrine when we think of this time of year, because yes, the crucifixion is necessary for your salvation, but the coronation is also equally necessary. The two go hand in hand, and you just can't have one without the other. You need to look to Jesus Christ and his death, yes, his sacrificial death for you on the cross. But equally, that same body, as it was offered as a sacrifice for sin, it then needed to enter heaven. And of course, as we read here in Acts chapter 1, that's exactly what happened. This same Jesus, this same body, it was raised, and there were witnesses there to it all. And so for a few minutes today, we want to think about Easter's most neglected and Easter's forgotten doctrine. We want to think about what happened after the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to highlight to you here is the marvel of this ascension, and we read of this in verses 9 and 10 of Acts chapter 1, where we read, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." It's important to note that whilst all of the disciples and the apostles, they witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection, they watched him, they beheld him, they walked with him, they talked with him, and you read of that throughout the Gospels and throughout even the New Testament account. Whilst they saw him, nobody actually saw the physical event of the resurrection. None of the disciples saw it. They didn't actually see that moment in time when Jesus Christ, when the body, conquered death and then miraculously was raised to life. And yet the disciples who had, of course, beheld him on the cross, the disciples who, of course, would have watched that crown of thorns riven into his head, the disciples, of course, who would have beheld the spear piercing his side, the disciples, of course, then would have beheld all of those scars on this blessed resurrected body. And what a sight it must have been. And yet it is this body, as they're gathered here 40 days after the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they see something that they will never forget. They'll never forget it. What a sight they see here as we read of it. And when you actually read of it, it boggles the mind. When you really take time to think about it. Because we read here in verse 9, "While they beheld, he was taken up." You picture the scene. You're there yourself. Picture the scene. It's almost as if you're there. A body that has conquered death. Literally, as it says in verse 9, is taken up. It takes off when it passes through the clouds. It goes even beyond the clouds. It goes into the very stratosphere. And then it enters into what Paul describes as the third heavens. And enters into heaven itself. It probably would have resembled something far beyond. It would have resembled something like a shooting star. Imagine just looking up into the heavens and seeing this body ascend into the heaven and then into glory itself. And so we read here that they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. They just can't get over it. Their minds are absolutely boggled at this miracle of all miracles. Well, they had seen Jesus do many a miracle before. They had beheld him just stand at a grave and conquer death and say to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." And of course, Lazarus did come forth from the grave. They knew that he conquered death. Of course, they had beheld this resurrected body of his. But this is something I believe they will never forget. As this same Jesus ascends into heaven before their very eyes, is it any wonder we read here in verse 10 that they look steadfastly into heaven? They just can't get over it. What a sight. What a sight this must have been for them. You see, the ascension is not a fallacy. It's a reality. And more than that, it is full of glory and majesty. It was a real live miracle that happened here on earth. Many today pour scorn on it. Some would say, well, it was made up, that it was engineered, that it was manufactured. And yet what a glory it must have been to see the very nail scarred, to see the very bruised and beaten body of Jesus, not merely conquer death, but then ascend. And as I have said, this is a most vital doctrine for you, because it's one thing for Jesus to die. It's one thing for him to conquer death. But if he doesn't enter into heaven and then sit down beside the King of Kings, the King of Glory, if he doesn't do that, then the work of salvation is not finished. It's not finished. And it was only as Jesus sat down after the ascension in his session was the work then finished. Was God ultimately satisfied with the work of his beloved Son? And so this is a necessary doctrine. And it's something that you should revel in. It's something that you should glory in at this particular time of year, as we think of Easter Sunday. It's something you should glory in. That Jesus Christ conquered death, but then entered heaven and was seated. And because he entered heaven and is now seated, you can stake your all on that finished work. The marvel of the ascension. Think with me then also about the mandate from this ascension. The mandate from this ascension. In verses 8 and 9 we read the Lord Jesus Christ, just before he ascends into heaven, he gathers his disciples, his apostles around, and we read here, he says to them, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As I've intimated to you already, they were absolutely flabbergasted, these disciples. They'd never seen the like of it. They really hadn't. They hadn't. As I've said, they had seen the Lord Jesus touch the eyes of the blind and cause them to see. They have beheld the Lord Jesus cure the incurable in terms of curing lepers. But they have never seen the like of this before. Is it any wonder then we read that they look steadfastly into heaven? In the original text it has the idea that their eyes were on stems. We would say in our country, I don't know about your country where you're listening on, but we would say in our country that their eyeballs popped out of their heads. We would say that if you see something that you don't believe, that your eyes nearly pop out of your heads. Your eyes just spring you. You nearly have to rub them as if, I can't believe what's just happened. And that's the thought here. That's the thought here in Acts chapter 1. Their eyes, it was as if their eyes were on stems. And just as they're standing there, watching this marvel of a miracle, and watching Jesus take off into heaven, there are angels. And these angels, they appear to the disciples and they essentially say, verse 11, "Why stand ye here gazing up into heaven?" In other words, they're simply gently reminding the disciples, look, the Lord Jesus has given you a task to do. To go and to tell of all of his glory. To go and tell not merely of his crucifixion, of the fact that he died as a sacrifice for sin, but go and tell what you have seen, what you've beheld with your very eyes. Yes, start in Jerusalem, but don't stop there. Go to Samaria. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's as if they're really saying, look, now is not the time to be standing and gazing up into the heavens. Now is the time to start this work that Jesus has called you to do. And it's the same with you at this time of year, at this Easter time. If you are a Christian, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, it's one thing to be taken up with the empty tomb, with the facts, with the figures, with the truth, with the theology. And we can become so like the disciples, can't we? Where we just stand and we gaze up into heaven, and at times rightly so. But the Lord Jesus is reminding you. He's reminding you at this time, as he said to the disciples, as he was just raised again on that third day, as he said in John chapter 20, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Go and speak and tell of me, of my work, of the fact that I have conquered death, I have conquered Satan, I have conquered the grave, and therefore you can as well." And what encouragement for you then today. You're not a Christian. You're surrounded by death, surrounded by all of the impacts of Satan in this society. You think, is there any hope for me? And I say to you, thank the Lord there is. And it is not merely in a crucified or a resurrected, but it is in an ascended, seated Christ. You think of the words of Julius Caesar. Whenever he wanted to conquer much of the then known world, dominate from Rome, what did he say? He said, I came, I saw, I conquered. Jesus Christ, as he enters into heaven, as we read up here in Acts chapter 1, that's what he would say. I came to earth. I saw it and I came to earth. And then I conquered. I conquered the grave, conquered Satan, hell itself. Now trust in me and go tell others of my work for them. And of course, and this is where we just finish. We then read in this verse, in verse 11, this same Jesus, he shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, as he went up, as the disciples saw him go up, one day he will return. Same way. And I trust you'll be ready for that day. The ascension of Christ. Let's just close our time in prayer. Lord, we pray that you might bless your word to all of our hearts today. We'll rest in a resurrected, seated Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.